I have 10 minutes. Amen. Take your Bibles, Romans 8. Romans 8, I want you to notice something Paul says about law, justice, and tribunals, and guilt, about indictments and verdicts. You'll notice in verse 1, the word condemnation. In verse 2, the word law. Verse 3, again, you'll see the word law. Verse 4, the word law. And of course, all of this talk of eternal jurisprudence continues all the way through the chapter. You see verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge? That's a charge, an indictment. And verse 34 says, who is he that condemneth? These are legal terms referring to the guilt or innocence and thus the fate of your soul and mine. And it brings us to another familiar facet about justice, which is the attorney. You see the last part of verse 34, Paul uses the word intercession. It says, Christ at the right hand of God, what? Maketh intercession. That means, to put it simply, Jesus was Paul's attorney, his advocate. He was his counselor. Now, folks, look, we've heard a lot in recent days about law and justice and claims of obstruction, exoneration, testimony, indictments, collusion. There are so many lawyers on TV right now, and I have nothing against lawyers. There's a bunch of them in the room right now. We have male attorneys, female attorney. We have practicing attorneys and retired attorneys. We have young attorneys and also David Dreyer. We have lots of attorneys here today. The Apostle Paul himself was a lawyer. And you know, John wrote in 1 John 2:1, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That is John, a fisherman, affirming the very same truth as the Apostle Paul. It is a judicial truth that involves every single person in the room today. After all, every single person in this room today is a soul. You're not a body with a soul. You are a soul with a temporary body. It is a body that will fade away while the soul will be somewhere forever. The question today is where and upon what legal divine basis are you assured that your soul is in right standing before a holy judge, the holy God? You know, the old Wild West, they used to have a saying. They'd say, prepare to meet thy maker, taken from Amos 4:12. And of course, the question is, well, how do you prepare? Who is prepared? Who's not prepared? And everyone stands, and if you will, you will stand in eternity before the judge of all of the earth. Who really is ever ready for that moment? Well, I can tell you someone who is 100% ready. And in fact, the Maker said that he was ready to meet his Maker. And you know what? It wasn't because this man was not guilty. He called himself the chief of all sinners. It wasn't because he was a religious Pharisee with a lifetime of spiritual pedigree who looked at all of his titles and all of his education and his bloodline, his credentials and his obedience to the law and said, I'm ready. Oh, not at all. In fact, he looked at all of that and concluded, it's nothing. In fact, he said, it is less than nothing. Paul was prepared to meet his Maker, and yes, he was ready, but not because he himself was good enough. By the way, did you notice that he is so ready to stand before the judge of the universe that he has the audacity to throw down the gauntlet and challenge any and all doubters? You see the question there again in verse 34? Who shall lay anything to the charge? And then verse 34, rather, who is he that condemneth? In other words, look, who is that person willing or able to condemn or charge anything to his soul? Who shall lay anything to the charge? Who is he that condemneth? And then verse 35, who shall separate us? Pastor, if it's not because he's good or accomplished or guiltless before God, then how is it that he is so confident? We know in his last breath, he says, I am now ready. How does he know that he's ready? Well, beloved, it's not a secret. It's not a secret why many in this room are also 100% ready. He tells us right in the text in three ways. Look at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Here's number one. It is Christ that died. Now, wait a minute. Paul says this, how are you going to condemn me when it is Christ that died? Not a saint, not a prophet, not a priest, not a mortal. He doesn't say, you can't condemn me. I am ready because it is Moses who died. Oh, no, no. This was the Son of God, the Savior, the sinless one, who died for that man's sins and this man as well. That's one. Number two, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. Now note this. You'll notice he says, died, but not dead. The Son of God, the Lord of glory, the Maker, he died for my sins. He suffered and he bled. He was humiliated and he was shamed. He bore our transgressions on that cross. It is Christ that died. He was the one who was buried. And how are you going to condemn his own when he also rose again? You know, the Bible says that for a good man, some would even dare to die. And that's true, right? There are people who have given their lives, soldiers and others, for another person and perhaps another good man. But there's never been a sinless person who gave his life for bad people and then rose again. Never, except for Christ. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. You know, I remember many years ago, Ben was a little boy and fairly little, and he wanted to watch a film called The Gospel of John. It's actually an epic set of three DVDs. It's the whole Gospel of John, nearly verse by verse. Remember that, Ben or Andy, when he was addicted to that thing? And so he put in the first DVD. And for well over 2 hours, we watched the Gospel of John, the baptism and the wedding of Canaan, the feeding of the 5,000, driving out of the money changers. And when it was over, he walked up and he started to put in the next DVD. And I said, Ben, what are you doing? He said, well, Dad, it's just sit right there. It's fine. I said, Ben, it's not fine. It's 10 o'clock at night. I'll watch the next one tomorrow, maybe next week. He said, no, you know, we can't stop right now, Dad, because Jesus isn't resurrected yet. You can't put him in the grave and leave him there. Well, guess what, folks? That's on the third CD. So 4 more hours later at 2 a.m., I got the good news. Jesus is alive. Amen. I didn't need the movie. Romans 4:23 says, righteousness, listen to this verse, righteousness was imputed to him who believe on Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses, that's his death, and raised again for our justification. You know what justified means? It means not condemned. Who is he that condemneth? It is not just, beloved, that the sinless, eternal Son of the living God died for our sins. He did. He also rose again and permanently erased the condemnation of that sin. First, he paid the debt. Then he imputed his own righteousness, so that the Scripture says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again. It is Christ who paid that debt and rose. So that as Jesus said in John 14:14, because I live, ye shall live also. And yet, even that is not all. And in fact, even that's not enough. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that he is risen again. And then verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The choir sang about a moment ago. Now think about it. Can you see now why? Can you not see why the Apostle Paul was absolutely and so assured of his salvation? Why? As the chief of sinners, he could challenge all of his accusers and Satan himself to condemn his soul. And no, they couldn't. Yes, he would say, I am the chief of sinners, but it is Christ that died. It is Christ who rose again. And it is Christ who has ascended right now at the right hand of the Father. And on my behalf, this same Christ makes intercession. He's my attorney, if you will. No wonder he says in verse 1 of the chapter, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So, how are you or I ever going to condemn a man whom God has shed his own blood, rose again in power, ascended the right hand of the Father, and now speaks on behalf of that same man and declares him justified? Jesus declares not condemned. Paul had an attorney, if you will, who never loses a case, and he never will. You know, it's very interesting to me. I've been a pastor for many, many years here, as you know, and before this even. It's been interesting to me to talk to people who are lost and how they hold up their card. All the inadequate things that people turn to against Satan's accusations, all of their false hopes of their salvation. And maybe you have some of those even this morning. I remember a story Brother Kevin Luce told me many years ago. An arrogant representative of the DOA, Department of Agriculture. He stopped one day at a farmer's home, and he told the farmer, "I need to inspect all of your fields." And the farmer said, "Well, I wouldn't go in that field right there if I were you." And the old DOA rep pulled out his wallet and grabbed a card, and he said, "You see this card? This card says I'm allowed to go anywhere I want on any agricultural land." And the old farmer shrugged his shoulders and said, "I wouldn't do it." He ignored the farmer, and a few minutes later, the farmer hears these loud screams, and there's that representative. He's running for his life with a mean and nasty bull with big old horns chasing him down. And as the inspector ran, the old farmer shouted, "Show him your card! Show him your card!" You know something? I have sat beside sick beds and death beds for decades, and I've noticed that when condemnation and eternity faces people, none of those religion cards, none of those I'm sincere cards, none of those good works cards do a thing for them. I have never seen a person facing eternity say with confidence, "Who is he that condemneth me? It is I who have lived a good life." Or, "It is Darwin that died," or "Socrates that died." "Who is he that condemneth?" "It is Caesar that died, yea, rather, who's still dead and lying in the grave." No, it doesn't work. But I have seen those who, like Paul, have boldly declared by faith, "Who is he that condemneth?" Any challengers, all contenders, "Who is he that condemneth when it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even now at the right hand of God, making intercession for me?" Can I ask you a question? Christ Jesus died, right? That is the truth. Christ Jesus died and also rose again. That is also the truth. As is the truth at this moment, the risen Christ is seated at the Father's right hand, and he's representing all condemned sinners so that they are no longer condemned. That's all true. The question is this: is this same Jesus representing you? Yes, Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. The question is he your Savior? Have you individually, personally, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Because today is the day to do so. Christian in this room, Christian, Jesus suffered and died. He rose again. Christ now intercedes on your behalf. Isn't he worthy of your whole heart and thus every day of the year? There was a young boy at the turn of the century, and I'll close with this. He was tragically trapped in an apartment fire in Des Moines, Iowa. His only caretaker, his grandmother, had perished in the fire, and now he too was about to die in those flames. But a mill worker named Colin Stewart, this man noticed him in the window, and he climbed up to him, and he used an iron pipe in those days that ran all the way on the outside of the building, and the whole time he was scorching his body and his flesh, and he was in pain. Ultimately, he went up there, he reached the boy, and he saved his life, and a few months later, that orphaned boy was placed in a public hearing. Some states would do this in those days. It was in order to determine who would have custody and whose home he would be placed. And you know what? There were several people there because it had been in the paper. This great story, and their hearts had been touched by the boy's life and salvation, and they wanted to adopt him, including a millionaire from Chicago. And it was at the forum that they all came before him and had a chance to make their case, and they did. And finally, the chairman asked who was next, and Colin Stewart, the mill worker, he stood to his feet, and he raised his hand, and his hands were scarred, and his arms were still bandaged, and his pain was still evident. And as soon as the boy saw him, he rushed to his side and embraced him. And everyone knew immediately that the choice was made. Zechariah 13:6 says, in a great prophecy that the Savior, Jesus, the Messiah, would have wounds in his hands. As an eternal reminder of why, for believers alone, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. I wonder if you're lost that you would run into his arms today. In the world of law and jurisprudence, I don't know about you, folks, but I am sick of the Mueller report. I was tired of the Mueller report before the Mueller report ever came out. There's not a lawyer on earth who agrees 100% with another lawyer on earth about that lawyer report. It's just muddy water added to a whole bunch of already muddied waters. But that's man. Let me tell you about a report in law and jurisprudence that I'll never tire of, because it is definitive. It is crystal clear. It's the Jesus report. And what it says is, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I heard that early this morning Doreen Lowe went to heaven. My first thought was something that I spoke on John Lowe's memorial service about. It says in Luke that when Lazarus died, the angels carried him into glory. Do you know that no believer in Christ ever dies and crosses over to glory alone? Because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. My question today is, he your lawyer? Is he your Savior? Is he your advocate? He won't be by some osmosis. He won't be because you're good or you showed up in church here and there. That won't happen. He will be your, if you call upon him, if you recognize your sin and accept him as your Savior. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you that there are folks in this room who can say, who is he that condemneth me? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Thank you that there are those in this room that can say that, not because of their goodness, but because of your grace. And for these who have asked for prayer for salvation, I pray you'll draw them to you today. May that step of faith with their heart be an indication, Father, of their belief and their faith in Christ. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.